Every time I move, the lighting changes. Yes, I know. What would you like me to do about it? Oh. What would you like me to do about it? No, I'm not a lighting technician. I have to do everything here. I have to be the audio man, the lighting man. I have to be the caterer. I have to be the gaffer, right? What's the gaffer? That's the lighting guy. I have to be the script consultant. I have to be the wardrobe consultant. I have to do it all. You ever see a movie and if you sit there like I do to the end of the movie, you look at all the credits. I owe it to those people to give them honor. And you see all the people that go into a movie, right? Well, this is a little mini movie, right? 13 minutes. I got to do everything. When you see the list of credits at the end, there's one name, mine, Martin Zenner. That's it. I got to do it all here. So cut me some slack. All right. You should know by now, folks, that, I know every time I move, the lighting changes. I don't know what's happening there. I don't accumulate stuff in this life. I told you yesterday that you should accumulate experiences. I've said this before, but I have new listeners every day here, and I want to make sure you understand that you're not going to take anything with you into the next world, but you're going to take your experiences. You're going to take what you learned, and this is a hard life, folks, if you haven't noticed, and God gives us things to help us enjoy this life. He gives us each other. He gives us hugs, right? Greet one another with a holy kiss. He gives us wine, and he gives us music. There's a great line from, who is that guy? He's named after me. Oh, yeah, Martin Luther. And we had this saying posted in Pennsylvania at our office, and this is a quote from Luther. One of these days, I'm going to write a book called Zender on Luther, and I'm going to take some of these great Luther quotes, and I'm going to expand them, comment on them. He who loves not wine, women, and song remains a fool his whole life long. That's Luther. Luther was no prude, that guy, but he understood that God's given all things for your use, and we enjoy each other. As members of the body of Christ, we enjoy fellowship, and don't let this happen to you, that when you get to the dais of Christ and you're standing there and you have one complaint on your lips, and it is this: God, you made this life so hard. That past life, you made it so hard. Why was it so hard? God's going to say, I gave you so many things to get you by. I gave you peanut M&Ms. I gave you the beach. Well, we couldn't afford to go to the beach. Well, yeah, but you could afford a television set, and you could afford your retirement fund. You could afford health insurance. I say get rid of all this stuff. Get rid of health. I don't have health insurance. I haven't had it for 6 years. Oh, Martin, you're living on the edge. That's right. I do not have a retirement fund. I have no savings. I live for the moment. And this is the way life is supposed to be lived, because you miss so many opportunities, which reminds me of photographs. How many people just, they take their camera everywhere, and they feel they must record every moment for posterity. And so they're busy. When the perfect moment arrives, they miss it because they're busy fumbling for their camera, trying to find the right f-stop setting, trying to get the lighting right, trying to figure out what setting to put their digital camera on. And by the time all that's finished, the moment's gone. And so you've missed it. I've quit taking photographs of anything. I don't photograph anything. Martin, you're not very sociable, or you're not very amicable. You have no sense of decorum. You have no sensitivity for people's feelings. You don't want to preserve a memory with me. Martin, why don't you want to take your picture with me? Because I'm enjoying your company. And if I go to get my camera, I've just ruined it. Forget about it. So you're trying to preserve things. You've got to live in the moment. I want to preserve this so that 15 years from now, I can look at it. Now, having said that, I enjoy photos that I took years ago, and I look at them. But that was in the days when I thought it was important to take photos. For thousands of years, people did not have cameras. That way, the poor people, they couldn't look back with bittersweet regret at their past life. How could those people live without remembering the bittersweet past, without seeing their children as babies, or see their former spouses, or see their parents when they were alive? These people, how could they live not pining and mourning and weeping over video, home videos, family portraits, wedding pictures? My God, how many wedding ceremonies have been ruined by the photographer? More than can be mentioned. Screw the photographer. Why the hell would you want to remember that day anyway? I'll never forget, I just wanted to get through. I just wanted to be married. I did not want to go through this rigmarole. Can't we just start being married? Why go through all this crapola? That's what I call it. That's one of the differences between men and women. Anything that's ceremonial, I could just get rid of it all. I don't care about it. Let's just get to the real life, the real living. Let's forget the props. Let's forget the scroll work. Let's forget all that stuff. And I think that's why you like my writing, because I've come to this point from many, many years of experience. You know, it's like, let's cut the song and dance. Let's get right to the point. Let's talk about what matters. Let's talk about what's important. And I love the book that starts right at the point. Oh, which reminds me, I was reading Ernest Hemingway the other day. I was reading The Sun Also Rises, and I'm showing you the book now on the studio cam. And I read that Hemingway at first had written like a really long introduction. He'd written like 30 pages of introduction, but he realized that the introduction wasn't necessary. He should just hit the ground running, get right into the action, and that's what he does. And it really improves the book. Robert Cohen was once middleweight boxing champion of Princeton. That's the first sentence. And Hemingway got right to the action. And to do that, he had to get rid of the superlative. He had to get rid of the extraneous. He had to get rid of the superfluous. That's the word I wanted to use. That's the first word my dad ever taught me. My dad bought me a dictionary when I was like 6 years old, and he started teaching me these whacked out words to improve my vocabulary. And I thank my dad for that. And one of the first words he taught me was superfluous. And he taught me how to spell it, S-U-P-E-R-F-L-U-O-U-S. And I learned that when I was like 6 years old, thanks to my dad. But anyway, you live. Just live. Don't worry about remembering these things. Don't worry about... Having said that, you know, this may be a problem. This may be a flaw of mine. I'm currently in my spare time. People say, Martin, don't you have any hobbies? What do you do to relax? I'm stuck on the 70s because they're available to me. If they weren't available, I wouldn't be stuck on them. But I go to YouTube and I'm watching game shows. I'm watching The Match Game from 1973 with Gene Rayburn. And I'm watching these contestants. And I'm watching these people like go for the super match, you know, and they're trying to win $5,000. And I'm rooting for these people who are probably long dead. This game happened 42 years ago, and I'm like in it like, oh, I wonder if they're going to win. And it's just like stupid. I wouldn't be doing that if the internet weren't available and if these ridiculous videos of game shows that were made in 1973 were not available to me. My whole point is that we should not accumulate things, neither images nor videos nor experiences. And we should live for today, and we should have an expectation of the future. And that's what we're trying to nurture here and encourage. That we're not hung up on ceremonies, as Israel is. We're not hung up on past experiences. We are living for today. We're being real with one another. We're not hiding. We're all being honest. And I find that today I'm one of the few honest people left. And I say things how they are. And because of my honesty, I shock people. And people think I'm some sort of shock jock, when actually I was a normal person 1,000 years ago. Because I believe people used to speak honestly because they didn't have videos from the 70s. And so they were involved more with the present, with each other's lives. And since life was hard in a way it was easier. I would have liked to have lived 1,000 years ago. Even in the 70s, life seemed to be simpler. But people, when life was simpler and possibly harder in a way, people looked forward to a future. They had an expectation, and they held that expectation before their eyes as something to reach toward. Now, we have that in Christ. And I'm encouraging us and myself as I speak to hold on to our expectation more than ever. To camp not in the past, as I do with the 70s game shows, but in the future. That's why I'm looking forward, and I really envy the days of the past, and I long for the days of the future when the technology, which is supposed to help us so much but doesn't, goes away. Because what it does, it ties us to the present, and it links us to the past. When what we really need, when I say it ties us to the present, I don't mean in a good sense. I mean in the sense that we build kingdoms, we build things, we accumulate stuff because we can. We have more leisure time than eras of the past. We have more disposable income than eras of the past. And so we buy our little electronic toys and we play with our toys. And because of that, we tend to remain children. And when all this goes away, where are you going to be? That's why we use the world, but to not use it up. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, around verse 29, when he talks about the era is limited. We use the world, but we don't use it up. So all things are given to you by God for your enjoyment, to help you through. And I said, don't be caught at the dais complaining to God about how hard the eon is. And God said, why didn't you take advantage of all the pleasures I gave you in this life? And I'm telling you today, that in order to appreciate these pleasures, for one thing, you have to drop your religious sensibilities against, for instance, wine, or even smoking, or even enjoyment. Because some religions, such as the Baptist, you can't even dance. So I tell you to invest in experiences, invest in pleasures and joys, and I tell you to dance. I tell you to buy a cheap wine and drink it instead of socking money for your kids' college. Forget that. Don't say you're thinking of sending your kids to college? That's a huge mistake. They're going to become a bunch of communists. They're going to be brainwashed. It's so expensive and they just go there and party. Don't send your kids to college. Buy a cheap wine. I'm not saying become an alcoholic, but I'm saying that God has given you many things to lubricate your passage through this eon. And the wine in Scripture is a type of spirit. And it is a type of the coming eon. Jesus said, I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in the kingdom. So it becomes a type then of enjoyment, of loosening. And when we loosen our attachment to this earth, we can then free our minds to contemplate heavenly realities. That's my goal for us. That's my goal for myself. It's not easy to do because of the distractions, because of the noise in my case. People are always pounding on things here in this building, and there are so many distractions. That's why I'm hearing from so many of you that you just like to sit at your kitchen table with this show on, and you and I have a time of fellowship together. And that is vital because we have many things going on at once. Many of you, you're drinking coffee right now while you're listening to me. Good job. I gave up coffee for a year. I realized my mistake, and now I'm drinking it again. We are fellowshipping together. We are wringing every piece of enjoyment we can out of this moment. We're not wasting time trying to photograph it or explain it or dissect it. We are simply enjoying it for what it is. And we're also anticipating our snatching away, our coming together with Jesus Christ. These things, while they seem to some people to be surrealistic fantasies, we know from the Scriptures that they are rather realities that are explained to us in terms we can understand. And we together are exploring the terms, we're exploring the passages, and I am in the midst of, and we'll continue tomorrow, showing you correlations between the book of Genesis and the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This will confirm for you not only the inspiration of Genesis and the unveiling of Jesus Christ, but the inspiration of the entire Scriptures. That, ladies and gentlemen, there is a mind behind the Word of God. There is a mind behind your life. There's a mind behind every detail of your life, including your trials. There's a common mind that has brought you and me together today. This is the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God links us together across the miles, and together we will get through this life and be delivered safely to the next.